the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, Sadhatu. Well, firstly, before we begin, we'd like to wish all of our viewers congratulations and a very happy Ramadan. We've entered Ramadan and now it's the fifth day, and this is the month of blessings, of self-restraint, of giving, of supplications, of prayers, and so much more. During this beautiful month, we hope that you'll all reach your highest you can and be closer to God, and also we'll discuss the rituals that we do have in Ramadan and their effect on yourself and also on your family and the people around you. And of course we'll have other segments to our program, but first let's go and listen to the supplication of the fifth day of Ramadan together.
Oh Allah, on this day, place me among those who seek forgiveness. Place me among your righteous and obedient servants. And place me among your close friends by your kindness. O the Most Merciful.
Welcome back. Well, we have joining us, we're honored to have Dr. Muhammad Nasser Saqaibi Riyah in our Qom studios. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam, and I'm happy to be with your program and people who watch us.
Great. First of all, we'll start and we'll talk about Ramadan. Like we said, this is the month of blessings, of prayers. We usually do have supplication prayers throughout the year, but this is a special month. And this month, we say that the Satan or Shaitan has his hands tied or his chains on his hands, and the doors to paradise are open. So rituals have much more an effect in this month. How do these rituals work, like reciting the Quran, supplications, and fasting? How during this holy month, how do they affect a person on a spiritual level?
Yes, although Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has mercy on us all time in all places, but during the month of Ramadan, a special program for honor and honoring us, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has planned, and that is for the descending of the Quran to us, because according to the Quran, as Quran says in Surah Baqarah, number 185, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, "Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzala fihi al-Quran." Ramadan is the month in which was sent down the Quran. Therefore, we celebrate the Quran which came to us and was bestowed upon us. This is celebration of Quran being with us. Therefore, there is a tight relation between us and the Quran. And continues to say, "Hudan lin-nas wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan." This is a guide to mankind, also clear signs for guidance and judgment between right and wrong. So this is Furqan, means something that separates between right and wrong. Therefore, we need to connect ourselves with the Quran during this month. So we can guess that fasting and other rituals are introduction to get us nearer to the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to get near to Allah through rituals of fasting, and the atmosphere that Ramadan creates for us. We have to say the builder of this atmosphere is Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, said to us that this is the month of a blessing. A Friday before the month of Ramadan come, he delivered a speech, and he in a detail he prescribed the month of Ramadan, that what are the rituals and what are the benefits of this month. Rasulullah said, you are invited to become the guests of Allah. Just by this, you can feel the honor that Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala has put forward for all the people, the families, the people, the elders, even the children, because this is a very simple med rituals that everyone in every age they can connect with, and through the Holy Quran and recitation of the supplications get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you one point about the recitation of the Quran compared with supplication. Recitation of the Quran is the connecting with the descending words of God to us. According to some riwayah, it says when you recite the Quran as if directly Allah is talking to you, you feel it, that Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala is talking to you through the very words of the Quran. But we need to get prepared for that status. And fasting, which is a purification of our soul through refraining from eating and drinking and other pleasures, you get near to become a pure person to receive the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, maybe because of that, it is said that recitation of one verse during the month of Ramadan is equal to reciting the whole Quran in the other months. And this is a reward, a special reward for people. And I have seen in myself and others that when they hear that reciting of one verse in the Quran, for example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is one verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one verse by itself. So when you recite it during this holy month, it's equal to the recitation of the whole Quran. That's why people are encouraged to recite the whole Quran, to recite more and more of the verses of the Quran. And this is descending words of God to you. According to some riwayah, it says when you supplicate to Allah, you are sending upward your words to God. And that is the other way around, ascending words from us to God. So there is a bilateral relation between us and God. He talks to us and we talk to God. He talks to us through the verses of the Quran, and we talk to God through the supplications that we wish. Alhamdulillah, we have a very valuable legacy of the supplications from Ahlul Bayt during the month of Ramadan, that if we didn't have those supplications, we didn't know what to say. Of course, we can pray and supplicate whatever we want in our own words, but because the Ahlul Bayt, they are connected more to the godly sources, they know the human beings better and the ways of heaven, they have taught us how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, through Sahife Sajjadiyye, he has very nice supplications. During this month, the dua Abu Hamza Somali, who has narrated this valuable dua from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, has a very high valuable meanings that connect us to Allah, teaches us how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is interesting that after this verse 185 of Surah Baqarah, Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala says, I am near to you. And إذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. When my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am near and I listen to them and I answer them when they supplicate me.
I think that's a beautiful note to stop there, Dr. Birya, on that beautiful supplication. I think the takeaway here would be that aside from cleansing our physical being during this holy month, to cleanse our spiritual self to carry on throughout the year. We'll go and listen to a story we have about the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and of course we'll be back much more about Ramadan and its rituals.
Once upon a time, there was a boy who liked dates very much. For the same reason, he begged his mother to give him dates to eat every hour. His mother told him that eating too many dates was not good for his health, but the son didn't listen. One day, the mother got tired of his son and said, "Why do you eat so many dates?" The son replied, "Because I like dates." The mother said, "But you eat too much. I'm worried that you may get sick." The mother patted her son's head and said, "If the Prophet tells you that you shouldn't eat too many dates, will you listen to him?" "Yes, I will listen to him, but the Prophet won't tell me not to eat dates." The mother held her son's hand and went to the Prophet. She greeted him and said, "O Prophet, my little son eats too many dates. I'm worried that he may get sick. Please tell him not to eat so many dates." The Prophet said calmly and kindly, "Please leave now and return tomorrow." The son rejoiced. His mother held his arm and they went home. On the way, she thought, "Why did the Prophet say such a thing? What's the difference between today and tomorrow?" But the son was happy that he could still eat dates. The next day, the mother and her son went to the Prophet. The mother told the Prophet that her son ate too many dates. The Prophet looked at the son kindly and said, "Don't eat too many dates. Listen to whatever your mother says." The woman was surprised. She asked the Prophet, "Why didn't you say this yesterday? Why did you say it today, that my son shouldn't eat too many dates?" The Prophet answered, "Because I myself had eaten dates yesterday, so I couldn't advise anybody not to eat dates." The mother thanked the Prophet and went home. She was happy both because her son wouldn't eat too many dates anymore, and because she had learned that whoever eats dates cannot prohibit others from eating dates. This saying applies to anybody who says something but she or he doesn't act upon it, and also encourages others to do it.
Welcome back to Pure Home. We're speaking about Ramadan, its rituals on ourselves and our family members. And we're honored to have Dr. Biria in our Qom studios joining us and helping us answer our questions about these issues. So, Dr. Biria, we spoke about the effect that supplications and these rituals have on ourselves. How about the general atmosphere in the home? What kind of effect would it have on the atmosphere?
Yes, when the crescent of the month of Ramadan appears, actually, not only adults, but all the family members become very happy of upcoming of the month of Ramadan. Let me tell you one point here, and that is the religion that Allah Ta'ala has given us as a means to His mercy, because Allah Ta'ala has created us to have mercy on us. وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. That is in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala has created us to have mercy on us. The month of Ramadan is a month, its days, its nights, its hours show us the very kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of us, to adults and children alike. As the Prophet said, you need to honor the adults during this month and to have mercy on children during this month. And it tells us that parents should have a special program to have a special mercy on the children, be kinder to them during this month, provide more things for them, do not burden them during this month, and have them feel the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we hear that with each breath you will receive a reward from Allah ta'ala. You sleep, still you get benefit and reward from Allah, and your sleeping is counted as worship to Allah, and in all its hours you are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the promises that the Quran gives us for the other life, which is much longer and it's wider and it is better in quality, tells us about the real mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our homes, the signs of mercy of Allah about us and towards us becomes clearer. See, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam praises Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regarding the setting of the month of Ramadan. And he starts saying, and praise belongs to God who showed favor to us through his religion. First of all, Imam Sajjad says, Allah has a favor to us through giving us the religion, singled us out for his creed, and directed us onto the roads of his beneficence. And then says that the month of Ramadan is one of those special words to his beneficence and his mercy, and defines the month of Ramadan as the month of fasting, the month of submission to God, the month of purity, the month of putting to test, the month of standing in prayer, the month in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to the people. All the rituals of month of Ramadan are directed towards feeling and mingling with these facts of the religion.
And therefore, if you agree, Dr. Biria, with all these things going on, with all these supplications, as you said, the purity, the reading, the reciting of the Quran, showing that mercy to our children, to our kids, I think I'm sure you'd agree the warmth that would add to the house in that atmosphere. And I think the walls, the recitation of the Quran and the supplications, all that I'm sure would have such a huge effect on the warmth and the purity of that home in general.
Sure, and even eating during the suhoor and during the iftar, fasting during the iftar, that all eat together and in that atmosphere that everybody starts with the name of Allah and saying some short supplications. This creates really a holy atmosphere in the and a gentle atmosphere of holiness in the within the family life, that children can feel it with their all their being. I remember when I was a child and my parents, they woke me up for suhoor, and we liked it a lot. Even it was during the winter and there was a snow, and we went out and washed our faces, and all these small things, the small differences that you have compared with other month, gives a special thing to the month of Ramadan and the habits that the parents they have towards the children, and the kindness that they feel it from the parents gives a nice atmosphere. And from the very beginning of life, Muslim people, they try to get the children familiar with the Quran and teach them the Quran during this month. And also the nights of Creed, the nights of Qadr, that all stay awake and they supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things together covers the days and hours and nights and everything with a very pleasant and very spiritual flavor to the month of Ramadan. Even I have seen the non-Muslims, they like it. I have seen some Christians who, when I was in America, and there were some Christian people who came to our center, our masjid, and they said, we want to try it, to fast one day, and they liked it a lot when they experienced the fasting of the Muslims, and they said that they liked it very much.
I think it's lovely, as you referred back to a memory of your childhood. What it is, especially now in this tumultuous world that we have, society that, you know, we're always on the run. And it's beautiful that, like you said, we sit down for a suhoor, we sit down as a family, and we eat together. Again, for iftar, the same thing. And like you said, even children, it's beyond their comprehension somewhat to understand what fasting is really all about. But the appreciation that they must have for that sense of family, that sense of being together. And I'm sure that's why, like you said, the Christians can value fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, because all the messages are of love and purity and togetherness and giving and sharing. And it's just, I think it's all quite beautiful. Personally, I think that's what makes it easy, because obviously that you're fasting, you're not able to eat and drink for many, many hours sometimes in the summer month like now. And yet it's beautiful, because you get through the day because of that sense of everybody's together, that sense of self-restraint and that beauty and that warmth in the atmosphere. Well, what we'll do is we'll go and take a break, and when we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague Farhad Bafoju. He has interesting articles for us. This, I don't know if it's about Ramadan today, possibly, or anything else. I'm sure it'll be interesting. So over to you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Arjou. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this part of the show, From Here and There with me. Today, I have picked an article which could be very appealing to those of you who might have fear of suffering from diabetes. Okay, a new study has suggested a type of vaccine for patients involved in type 1 diabetes that affects their immune system to stop attacking the body. The study shows that a suggested vaccine can retrain the patient's autoimmune system to protect the cells that make insulin. In those people who are suffering from type 1 diabetes, the immune system destroys the beta cells in the pancreas, which are responsible for making insulin. Made by the researchers at the Stanford University Medical Center, the vaccine with opposite effect can alter the routine function of the immune system. Researchers dubbed the treatment a reverse vaccine because it suppresses the immune system instead of stimulating it. No significant side effects or safety concerns have been reported so far. Well, today I am going to introduce to you a book which is very relevant to this holy month of fasting. The title of the book is Fast in the Month of Ramadan, and it's authored by Yasin al-Jabouri. The first chapter of the book begins with this beautiful sentence. Since the dawn of history, man did not find any means better than fast to ascend above, yielding to his desires and worldly wishes, attain spiritual upliftment, return to spirituality, and renounce contemptible habits to which he became addicted and which led him to perdition. Some of the chapters of the book include the significance of the month of Ramadan and its fast, what breaks the fast, history and types of fast, when fast is prohibited, and last but definitely not least, recommended deeds for each night of the last 10 nights of the month. I'm positive you will learn a lot by reading this book, and you will find the answers of many questions you might have in your mind. Fast in the Month of Ramadan by Yasin al-Jabouri. Well, a nice song for your emails. We have received an email from, his name is Hossein. He is currently living in the Netherlands. He has said, "Dear brothers and sisters in Pure Home, Salam Alaikum, Salam to you. Dear Hossein, as this month finds you fasting and praying, hope Allah bless you and your prayer be answered. Thank you very much. I also hope that you will have the best of days and the best of nights, of course, in this holy month of Ramadan." He says that, "I have two questions which I hope I can hear the answers in your program." Let's see what the two questions are. The first question is, "What if you eat at Ramadan accidentally and didn't mean it?" Well, you said it, it's accidental and you didn't mean it. So I think it's okay, right, Ms. Harju? I think it's okay to, if someone accidentally...
I think that's the beauty of our religion, Mr. Bafadu. I think that's the thing. A lot of time, everything depends on your intention. If you do something unintentionally, if you sometimes forget, then I can't see Allah with all His mercy would never punish you for such a thing.
I think in our religion, intentions are more important than actions,
right? Yeah, definitely, because we're told that even with good intention, we get good deeds. So there you go. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, that's okay. And the second question is, "Can one use mouthwash during Ramadan? Is it just makruh if one brushes one's teeth and spits paste out really well?" Well, you know that in Islam we have haram, which I think we can translate it back into English as religiously forbidden, and makruh, which I think in English we say it is religiously not allowed, right? It's not suggested.
It's not suggested, or basically it's cautioned. Yeah.
So our viewer has asked if mouthwashing during Ramadan, he says, it's makruh if one brushes one's teeth and spits paste out. I really didn't know it, and I think that's okay to brush our teeth, right? We need to have our breath
oral
smell
hygiene.
Good.
Well, I think we might ask, because I would think that anything, as long as it doesn't go down the throat, it shouldn't be a problem. But maybe we should turn to Dr. Viria, because I'm sure this is a question which actually occurs for a lot of people, because a lot of people want to go on with the mouthwash. So Dr. Viria, our viewer here wants to know, as far as mouthwash and brushing the teeth in the holy month of Ramadan,
yes,
while you're fasting.
That's a good question, and the thing that is discouraged Makruh is the discouraged, the thing that is not forbidden, but it is discouraged. The thing that is discouraged is bleeding the teeth. So if you brush and you do not bleed your teeth, it's okay. Provided you don't swallow the liquid or the thing that you use for washing your mouth. So using the mouthwash or brushing is okay. It's allowed. There is no problem.
Right. Dr. Birya, hello to you. I'm the second host of this program. Yes, yes. Dr. Birya, I would like to ask you this question because it's a problem most of us have here. Towards the final hours of this holy month of Ramadan, we might have sometimes bad breath. So what do you suggest we should be doing?
So you can brush. You can use even a toothbrush to wash your mouth, and you remove that bad odor from your mouth. It's,
right.
As I said, it's okay and it is allowed.
It is allowed.
But you should not swallow the things. You have to throw it out.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope our viewer has gotten his answer. Well, that's it for this edition of From Here and There with me. For more updates, you can log on to our website at english.sahartv.ir. Thanks for watching. Back to you, Ms. Avju.
Thank you very much. Now it's time for a lovely clip we have about Ramadan. So let's go and look at that together and hopefully enjoy it. Welcome back to the program. Well, continuing on with the rituals of Ramadan with Dr. Birya in our Qom studios, we spoke a little bit about the atmosphere, the general atmosphere that will be created in this holy month and the blessings. And now as for the family relationships, that warmth, that atmosphere that, you know, sitting down at one table, eating together, what effect does that have on the relationships between the family members?
Let me start with elaborating a point. You mentioned that you cannot eat and drink during the month of Ramadan, but I want to make it a little bit more precise to say that we choose not to eat and drink. It's different, and I think even the effect of that on our body is different. Sometimes you do not have something to eat and you are deprived of food, but sometimes you choose deliberately you do not eat. In other words, you gain control over your desires. And that is a very outstanding aspect of the fasting. The beauty of fasting is that you prove that you are above and you are controlling your desires. And this by itself shows its effect in the family life, that you can control your anger, you can control your desires, you can, by that means, you can honor others, you can respect others, you can have the good relation that Allah wants us to have with each other. And this helps us a lot in our daily life. And one of the perfections in human being is to be able to control one's desires. The people who do not have that control, they are near to the world of animals. But human beings, when they refrain from some pleasures by their choice, they gain control over their own self.
And because that's what we have, right? The main struggle of the nafs is the main thing. I mean, we have jihad and nafs, the main fight or the main war with yourself. I think that's ultimately the biggest struggle that we have in our lives, right?
That's why in Islam it is said that the nature of the fasting is patience. Mm. Patience is gaining control over your desires, and that is jihad and nafs. So fasting is a kind of a struggling with one's nafs and desires. And the beauty is this, not that you cannot eat. Yes, Quran says, Islam says you should not eat, but you choose not to eat. You choose to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that beautiful ritual of fasting. So we see that it has effects on family life, it has effects on our characteristics, and it may last for us for good.
Mm-hmm. Very nicely put. I like that, Dr. Biriya, because like you said, if you're learning that self-restraint in that month, if you're learning not to eat when you can eat and you choose, then you can imply that on other things. If you want to be disrespectful, but you imply self-restraint there and you do not. If you want to lie, if you want to backbite, if you want to be and on and on and on, what you do is that constant struggle and you stop yourself from going ahead and doing what you want to. What we'll do is we'll go and look at a lecture from The Role of the Mother in the Family by Hujjatul Islam Muhammad Reza Zibai Nejad. We had the part one last week and now it's part two.
In the name of God, it seems that if mothers change the effects they have on the family and on the society in a correct manner, it will be very effective on improving motherhood responsibilities. The most important factor in the development of any country is its educated human resources. The mental health of these human resources is created in the family. It is the mother who can grant her children mental equilibration with her special affection towards her children. We should note that there is a difference between training children in official environments such as kindergarten and training children in the family. Motherly training is comprehensive training. It means the person who supports a child and feels her or him is the same person who supervises his or her activities and exercises authority. However, at school, teachers content themselves with giving some recommendations, but they don't have any effect on supporting the children. They do undertake some part of training, but their training is not comprehensive. At school, personality differences are ignored during training. However, in the family, the mother relates to a child based on his or her personality and chooses diverse training patterns for her children. Another point is that a good kindergarten is one which treats all children equally. However, a mother views each child differently. In other words, a mother tells her child implicitly, "For me, you are different from others." She inculcates a kind of feeling in her child which is called self-esteem. As a result of this feeling, expectations from the child increases. Another point is that successful mothers are those who pay more attention to their relationships with their husbands than to their motherhood. In other words, if the couple has a healthy and good relationship, a great part of motherhood responsibilities are taken care of automatically, and the way to train children is paid for. The last point is that today mothers, whether in Iran or in foreign countries, are facing a kind of anxiety, the anxiety of fulfilling motherhood responsibilities. The modern society has become very complicated, which has led to the increasing anxiety of mothers about whether they can raise good children or not. This increasing anxiety is sometimes intensified by experts. It has led to the lack of self-confidence in mothers and their anxious in their rearing and training behaviors. It seems that experts should reconsider the way they offer skills to the new generation of mothers. They should act in a way that fulfilling motherhood responsibilities becomes smoother than ever, and the anxiety of mothers about fulfilling these roles decreases.
Welcome back. Well, we're nearing the end of our discussion about the rituals of Ramadan and its effects on ourselves and our family members. Now, Dr. Biria, in the last 3 minutes or so, we don't have that much time, but basically let's wrap up a conclusion for our viewers as to all the things, the spiritual effects that you've, the fruits of our labor during this month. How do you preserve those and maintain them throughout the year?
As I mentioned, some of the effects of the month of Ramadan remain with us. Gaining control over oneself, and even after the month of Ramadan, when you want to eat, some you feel that you cannot, or you stop as if I'm fasting. So this shows that you have gained the control over yourself and you are somebody else. But in Islam there are programs like recommended fastings. We have nearly in every month 3 days, the first Thursday, the last Thursday, and the in between Wednesday is recommended to fast. So we do not forsake fasting for good, but during the other months also we somehow we recall that habit of fasting and taste the fasting during the year. And it is said that if you, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said if you fast 3 days a month plus the month of Ramadan, as if you have fasted all life. So it shows that you can preserve the good effects of the month of Ramadan through fasting 3 days a month. And also the habit of refraining from forbidden acts, it can be continued. So it needs special attention to change our habits, especially during the night of decree, the night of Qadr. We need to decide not to go around the sins and to be a good person, decide to change ourselves. And this is the way that we can preserve the things that we have gained.
Thank you so much, Dr. Biria. We hope that our viewers, I myself included, can take these suggestions and these beautiful words into consideration, and so that we can grow. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Biria, and helping us learn. And to you, dear viewers, don't forget to pray for us. We'll pray for you during this holy month. Enjoy these blessings that Allah has provided for us. Don't forget, go on our website, srtv.ir. Check us out and send us your comments, suggestions. We'd be glad to hear them. Peer Home at sartv.ir. Thanks so much for tuning in and inviting us into your Peer Home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.